Let us now turn to the second chapter, the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And before we consider the Lord's words for our hearts, let us now seek the Lord's help in prayer. Let us look to the Lord. Eternal and gracious Father, we come before Thee this morning to adore and praise, magnify Thy wonderful name. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. And we ask Thee, O God, that in the ministry of the Word, we might indeed do that very thing. We might exalt Christ. And, O Lord, that Thou would lead us to adore and to praise Thy holy name. Lord, undertake for us now, we pray. Take up Thy holy word. And, Lord, in the ministry of it, use it to the glory and honor and praise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His holy name we pray. Amen. The words that we would like to consider this morning with the Lord's help are the words of verses 10, 11, and 12. And there in verse 10 we read, "And the angel said unto them," that is unto the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I want to consider, as was said with the Lord's help, these verses this morning and once again this evening. Now here in our text, we have before us the sermon of the first evangelist under the gospel dispensation. Because when the angel of the Lord appeared unto the shepherds, his words were, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It is interesting to note that the word for good tidings, just one word in the original, is the same word for gospel. And so here we have an angel descending from heaven, preaching the gospel to these shepherds that were minding their flocks by night. And in so doing, the angel of the Lord made known to the shepherds what was and what is the heart of the gospel. He told them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Christ is the heart of the gospel. That is why the gospel is glad tidings. That is why the gospel is good news. Because it is a message about a Savior. That is the heart of the gospel. Is that not good news for lost souls? That there is a Savior. that a Savior has come into this world. That's the heart of the gospel. Take the Savior out of the gospel message, and you've taken the heart out of the gospel. And as Paul says, you may call it a gospel, but it is not the gospel. The man that does not preach Christ is not preaching the gospel. So the angel emphasized the heart of the gospel, and the heart of the gospel was Christ. And when the angel came to the shepherds, came at a certain time. Notice there in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. There's the hour of the gospel. It is still the hour of the gospel. For it is night for every fallen son of Adam. He's still in darkness. It is still night time for the unsaved. That's the hour of the gospel. The gospel needs to be preached at this time, because many are sitting in darkness. Man's soul is in a state of spiritual darkness, and he needs to be told the good news that a Savior has come. A Savior has come, which is Christ the Lord. He has come to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Luke chapter 1, verse 79. Notice all that when this heavenly messenger came to the shepherds that night, it was to tell them about the hope of the gospel. This evangelist from heaven, this angel of the Lord, had come with a great message. A message that emphasized the heart of the gospel. Christ came at the hour of the gospel, because it was night and men today are still in that night of darkness. And he came with a message of hope. Notice what he said. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Shall be to all people. This is the gospel that we can take to all people. There is hope for all people, because the Savior has come, and we take the gospel to all people. Was that not the Great Commission? In Mark 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's the hope of the gospel. There's hope for sinners. And sinner friend, this morning there is hope for you. And that hope is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no hope in a gospel that does not preach Christ. Sadly, not everyone will embrace that message of hope, but will rather die in their sins, go to a lost eternity, because they will not accept the gospel message and accept the Christ of the gospel. If you're not saved this morning, I trust you will embrace this great message and embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior. But let us take a closer look at what the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds that day or that night about the Savior. First of all, we must consider the announcement about the Savior. The angel, in announcing the birth of a Savior, spoke to the shepherds about a personal Savior. And praise God, that's what he is. The Lord Jesus is a personal Savior. He has saved anyone that he saves them personally. He deals with them personally. He becomes their personal Savior. Notice how the angel begins his announcement. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you, to you shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He's born unto you. A Savior is born unto you. That makes him a personal Savior. That is the message of the birth of Christ. That Jesus Christ came to be the personal Savior of man. So that every one of us this morning who know the Lord can take those words of the angel and apply them to us, to each one of us individually. For unto you, yes, unto me, a Savior was born, which is Christ the Lord. And believer, you can say that too, that unto you a Savior was born. He came to be your personal Savior. And he went to the cross and he died personally for you. Unto you is born a Savior. So that every believer can assuredly say that the Savior was born unto them. That is why he came to be my Savior, came to be your Savior. Not only my Savior, but my friend, my strength, my shield, my buckler, my all in all, my only hope for eternity. That's what he is. Believer, isn't that what he is to you? Isn't he your Savior, your friend, your strength, your shield, your buckler, your high tower, your comfort, your only hope for heaven? Not only do we have here a personal Savior, but this heavenly evangelist spoke about a Savior of peace. What were the first words the angel spoke? The very first words that the angel said to the shepherds were, "Fear not, for unto you was born a Savior." Why do you need to fear? Because a Savior has been born unto you. There is no need to fear. For I have come to tell you about one who has come to be your Savior from sin and Savior from all fear. That is one of his titles, of course. He came to deliver man from fear. He came to bring peace to his troubled heart and his troubled mind and his troubled conscience. That's his title. He's the Prince of Peace. And the many today have peace in their hearts. And many have got peace of conscience. Not very many. They don't have peace of conscience. They have a troubled conscience. They have a troubled mind, of a troubled heart. Well, Jesus Christ came as the Prince of Peace. And that's his message. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Do you know this peace this morning? Do you know the peace of God which passeth all understanding? You will never know that peace until you know Jesus Christ. Because he gives a peace that the world cannot give. I don't care where you go to in the world. You'll not find the peace that Jesus Christ alone gives. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. That is why all who know the Savior have peace in the night as well as the day. They have peace in death as well as in life. And Mr. Greer Sr. breathed his last just last week. There was no fear gripping his heart, but rather there was a peace that the world could never have given him, for he had the peace of God in his heart. And he went home to see the one who is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the peace that only a living Savior can give. By Christ on the cross, peace was made. My debt by his death was all paid. No other foundation is laid for peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above, the gift of God's love, oh wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. My friend, do you know anything about it today? Well, Jesus Christ came into the world as the Savior to give man peace. Notice also, he's a Savior to be praised. For the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And the reason for this great joy was the coming of a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Dear shepherds, you don't need to fear. Rather, instead, you ought to rejoice. Because a Savior is born this day in the city of David. And that Savior is Christ the Lord. I find it interesting that the angel of the Lord appreciated the joy that the coming of the Savior would bring to men. Because the angel of the Lord tells the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So the angel of the Lord appreciated the joy that a coming Savior would bring. Even though the Savior didn't come to die for angels, came to die for fallen men. But nevertheless, the angel appreciated the joy the coming of Christ would bring. And how true it is that the Savior brings joy. wherever he comes. Oh, the joy the Savior brings when he comes into the heart of man. Do you remember the night of the day that you got saved when Christ Jesus came into your heart? Do you remember the joy that filled your heart? That joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. The man that lay at the gate beautiful experienced that joy. When the apostles led him to Christ, and Christ entered his heart, we read in Acts 3 and verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. There's the joy. I tell you, you'll not find that joy anywhere in all this world. You can search 10,000 worlds, and you'll not find the joy that Christ alone can give. And my unsaved friend, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. It has been the testimony of believers that whenever they receive Christ, they only wish they'd received him sooner. They only wish they had made Christ their Savior early in their life, because they missed out so much. And you're missing out if you don't know the Lord Jesus. You're missing out in this joy and this happiness that is the portion of those who have Christ in their heart. And oh, the joy the Savior brings when he comes into a home. Never mind into the heart. He changes the home. And maybe before, where there was fighting and division, when Christ comes into that home, there's joy and there's peace. That was the experience of the Philippian jailer. For we read in Acts 16, verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, that is Paul and Silas, and set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. There it is. Christ had come into the heart, and Christ had come into the home. And when Christ was in the home of the jailer, we find that the jailer rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. See? Wherever Christ comes to, he brings joy. And that is why the angel said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior. A Savior is born unto you. Would that not fill you with joy? And you see, believer, if the coming of Christ into the world caused the angels to sing, caused the angel of the Lord to rejoice, how much more then should we rejoice? Because Christ came and saved us. I want you to notice then not only the announcement about the Savior, but the angel here speaks about the arrival of the Savior. The angel of the Lord was, of course, informing the shepherds of the arrival of the Savior. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. He has arrived. He has arrived. The Savior that has been waited for for thousands of years, he has arrived. No wonder the heavens burst into song that night. Because the Savior who had been long waited for had arrived. The waiting was over. And in so doing and so telling them that the Savior had arrived, the angel of the Lord spoke about the person of the Savior. There had been many promises given that told of a day in which the Savior would come. The shepherds are told that that day had now arrived. And one such promise was given by the prophet Isaiah. Would you turn, please, to that well-known verse in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And what a wonderful verse this is. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice how the Savior is identified. This is one of the prophecies regarding the coming Savior, the coming Messiah. And Isaiah, under the inspiration of God, identifies the Savior by giving him five titles. He's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Five glorious titles given to the Savior by the prophet. Titles which emphasize the deity and the eternity of the Son of God. So here the prophet spoke about one who is the Mighty God. Mark the words. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Or the words, the Everlasting Father, may be rendered the Father of Eternity. The Father of Eternity. But wait. He's called the Mighty God. He is called the Father of Eternity. And yet the angel said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Unto you is born. But how can that be? Can this possibly be one and the same person? For how can one who is the Mighty God and the Father of Eternity be born? But it is the same person. The Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, is the one who lay in Bethlehem's manger as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Notice how Isaiah has put it, and how important this is. Verse 6, Isaiah 9. For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. The Son is the mighty God. The Son is the Father of eternity. So it doesn't say, unto you a son is born. But it says, unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. For you see, the Son existed before Bethlehem. There is a teaching abroad today. And I remember having a controversy with a minister of the Church of God. When I was the minister in Newton Abbey, just a mile or so from my own church, there was this great Church of God. And the minister of that church did not believe in the Holy Trinity. He believed in what is called a oneness doctrine. And in his preaching, he declared that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, began his existence at Bethlehem. That's heresy. That's erroneous. And Isaiah makes that very clear. The Son existed before Bethlehem. The Son was in the bosom of the Father. And when we read in Genesis 1, in the beginning God, Jesus Christ was there. Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. And what we have then at Bethlehem is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the Father of eternity, becoming man. That's what we have. And as we've already said, when the shepherds went to that manger and found that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, what did they find there? They found there the mighty God. They found there the Father of eternity veiled in human flesh. That's what they found. There you have the incarnation of Christ. The mighty God, the Father of eternity, has become man. Being born of a virgin. And there lying in a manger. Believer, what a wonder this is. The mighty God has become man. The mighty God has become man. Why did he become man? That he might be our Savior. He had to become man if he was to be our Savior. He could not become our Savior without becoming man. Because he had to suffer. And he had to bleed. And he had to die. If he was to be our Savior. And that's why the mighty God became man. That is why the Father of eternity became man. He came to earth in the form of man. It is not surprising then that the angel himself was filled with wonder. Do you notice that? that the angel of the Lord himself was filled with wonder at this great event that the mighty God had become man and was lying in humble surroundings such as a manger. Look at the wonder of the angel of the Lord. For he said unto the shepherds, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. No wonder the angel said, behold. This was a wonder that the mighty God became man, that the Father of eternity veiled himself in flesh. And if it caused the angels to wonder, how much more should you and I be filled with wonder and amazement? That hymn that we sang there, O come all ye faithful, triumphant, O come ye, O come to Bethlehem, come and behold him, born the King of Angels, believer, this morning we ought to fall down at his feet and sing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For isn't that what he deserves? Isn't that what we must give him? The adoration of our hearts. That he, being the mighty God, should descend into this world and become man, in order that he might bleed and die for you and me. O come, let us adore him. John 1 and verses 1 and 2 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't listen to the Jehovah Witnesses when they come to your door and they talk to you about John 1 and 1. And they say, oh, it doesn't mean that. They say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. They're not telling the truth. Of course, they don't believe the truth to start with. The truth is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Not a God, the God. He is the mighty God. He is the Father of eternity. But John doesn't finish there. For John goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh. There's the mighty God, and he was made flesh. Dwelt or tabernacled amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. The Word became flesh. The mighty God became man. Two distinct natures in one person. God forever. It's the one we worship today. That's the reason why we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. It saddens us, surely, when at this time of the year and We don't know what time of the year the Savior came into the world as God manifest in flesh. There have been those who have speculated and they have covered all 12 months of the year. So we don't know. It most certainly was not the 25th of December. Nevertheless, it's good to remember his birth. A great and glorious occasion that caused the very angels to wonder. But the thing that saddens me, and I'm sure believer saddens you, is that there's so little spoken about the Savior. So little said about the Lord. And I'm just about tired listening about Santa Claus. And I've just heard lately that some company advertising some, I don't know what it is they're selling. They have now a picture, a drawing, a sketch of Santa Claus nailed to a cross. That's how far it has gone. And there's so much talk about a fictitious character, as though he is the central figure of this time of the year. He's not. Christ is. And it grieves us sore when this fictitious character is portrayed as the one who does so much good. Christ did it all. And it is him we ought to adore. It is him we ought to praise. It is him that we must give all the glory to. That the mighty God became man. And it was for us. That's why he did it. That's why the mighty God became man. That's why the Father of eternity became man. Because he came to die for us. He had to become man. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's as far as we can go this morning. We'll continue our study in this wonderful subject, God willing, this evening. May the Lord grant us an opportunity to come back tonight to worship and to adore the one who is the mighty God and the one who became man. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving God and gracious Father, we bless thee and praise thee for thy Son. Lord, how it grieves us sore this time of the year the Savior has set aside. Savior is put away in the background. Oh, gracious God, help us to ever have Christ the center of all things. May we as believers always have Christ to the fore. May he be the focus of our attention, our adoration, and our love. For indeed, Lord, we have come this morning to adore thee. And we adore thee now. And by thy grace we will continue to adore thee. And we'll adore thee even more when we see thee. Lord, we thank thee for the one who is Savior, Christ the Lord. Undertake for us. May we go on our way rejoicing in Jesus Christ. May we leave this place of worship with the joy of the Lord in our souls. May we go on our way praising our great King, our Savior, Christ the Lord. Lord, grant traveling mercy. Bless every adult and every child. Keep thy hand upon us. And Lord, in thy will, return us tonight to further adore thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now. And until the day breaks, the shadows all flee away, and we see him whom our soul loveth. We pray in his wonderful name. Amen.